Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, August 25th, 2022. I'm on your host, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is the LaCroix Poppy himself, a.k.a. my fellow Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. Tim motherfucking Geddes.
I punched those snakes in the face, dude. Their tiny little face with their tiny little eyes all bah, bah, bah. And here I am back on Kinda Funny Games Daily.
I'm glad that the snake spike strip didn't get you. That was the that was the theory last episode.
Yeah,
through on the highway while you're driving your big old blue truck, flip you over. You have to climb out. Give me a call. Be like, Bless, I need a favor. We got 20 minutes. Can you get a guest for the show? And of course, it being me, I would have done it.
Exactly. You're a good man. You're an above average guy. That's what the kids
above,
on the street say.
Above average guy, exactly. Mm-hmm. Tim, how was the power outage?
Oh, dude, you guys, look, I know a lot of people are going to make fun of me for this, but I know there's a lot of people out there that can relate. Power outages, fairly rare these days. I feel like when I was a kid, they happened a lot more. And when they would happen, I'd be like, oh my God, guess what this means? I'm playing Pokemon all night. I got my Game Boy. We're going to have some fun, right?
Yeah.
But when you're an adult, I kind of just equate power to internet. So I kept thinking like, oh yeah, cool. Well, I can't do all the things I have to do. So I'm just going to do this, or this. And I'm like, oh wait, no, I can't play this game. Or I can't just work on Word docs on my computer. I like literally walked into my theater room and it was just pitch black because there's no windows in here. And I was like, well, that's a flaw. So yeah, it was there's a lot of little realizations in your life when your power is out and you don't know why it's out. And they say it's going to be back in a couple hours and it's not back for 12 hours later.
Oh my God, dude, I feel that. I had that happen this last Saturday where it wasn't my power. It was just my internet. Out of nowhere, I was hanging out watching Better Call Saul. I'm on season four. I'm on like the final episodes of season four right now. And out of nowhere, my internet cut. And both me and Michael were just like, we're kind of sitting in our rooms, like waiting for like what one of us to act. It's like, which one of us are going to be the ones to like walk over to the modem, unplug it, and replug it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, you know, after 10 minutes, I get up, I do the thing, I unplug it, I replug it. Internet's not back yet. 30 minutes later, me and Michael are like, all right, I guess we're gonna have to figure this out. Michael goes online, turns out there's an internet outage everywhere, and they don't have like a return time. So I'm just sitting here, I'm like, what am I gonna do? I can't watch Better Call Saul.
I'm useless.
Can't just surf Twitter. Yeah, it turns out
so
if you're just home with nothing
media
to do.
Is great if the internet goes out, and then you can just put you know, throw in a Blu-ray into your PS5 and just you know, watch stuff there, you know.
The one situation where you will ever throw a Blu-ray into your PS5.
Yeah.
Because people aren't watching Blu-rays anymore. That's a thing of the past, right? It's everything's digital.
4K, 4K Blu-rays, digital. Especially when I don't want it. Yeah, there you go. Tim's got it. Tim's got the
I love
Sonic
it. Once an episode now. Once an episode, Tim
baby.
Has to bust out the Sonic 2. You know
it's
what just, I ended up doing?
It's a thing of beauty, man. Come on. Are you kidding me? Look at that. Oh,
it's a hot case.
It is.
It's a hot case.
What'd you end up doing, Bless?
I ended up just doing The Last of Us review because, of course, people know we got access to Last of Us Part 1. Mm-hmm. Played that instead, reviewed that. And then, like, partway through, I was like, you know what I should do? I should download Last of Us Remastered so I can compare and contrast. Went over and I was like, oh yeah, I don't have internet. I can't do that now. I can't even do that. It's
exactly
the little things. It's the things you don't think about.
So, I mean, speaking of the little things, and this is, again, one of the most Tim Geddes travesty moments of boo-hoo, your life sucks, Tim. But so yesterday, power out, right? I'm like, I had so much work to do, including games daily. So many things were not done yesterday that had to get done. But I was like, well, that is what it is. I can make calls. I can still get on some Discord things. I popped into games daily for a little housekeeping and all that stuff, right? So my phone, the battery that it had was valuable to me because there's no way for me to recharge it. All my portable chargers, I just traveled to Nashville and never recharged them. So I was like, what I got here, that's it, that's game over, right? So what did I proceed to do? Play a couple hours of Marvel Snap yesterday, which is first off such a goddamn good game. Second off, that thing drains your battery. So I was playing with the thrill, Bless. I was like, I have an important business call to take later today, but I got two more challenges to do,
snap,
man. I got two more challenges. Anyways, enough of that.
What is this show? Well, I want to ask, are you able to talk about Marvel Snap? Or do you have plans to talk about Marvel Snap? Because I want to hear about Marvel Snap, but I can wait until Gamescast.
Let's wait till Gamescast or wait till something at some point. I've been playing it. I've been loving it. It's in beta right now. You can get it on Android, and there's ways to get it on iOS. So Google it. Figure it out. But it's awesome. It's freaking awesome.
All right, Tim, enough about Marvel Snap. Let's talk about today's stories, which include PS5 getting a price increase, more about that Horizon Netflix show, and more, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. Remember, you can use Epic Creator Code Kinda Funny on all Epic Store and Epic in-game purchases like Rocket League and Fortnite to help support the channel. To be a part of the show, to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, or bronze members or above, get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping for you, PS I Love You XOXO is recording right after this with special guest Sancho West, and we need your help. We're talking about the future of The Last of Us, and we want your input. You can write into patreon.com/kindafunnygames and let us know where you want The Last of Us to go, or any questions you have about the future of the franchise, and we'll talk about it on PS I Love You XOXO this week. This is one of those fun weeks where I use the word fun loosely because it's going to sound like it's fun that Greg and Janet are away. It was one of those fun scenarios where Greg came to me and was like, hey, you got a week. I'm out. Janet's out. Like, who do you want as a guest? What do you want to do? And I looked at the calendar and I was like, all right, what PlayStation like related thing is happening? What would theoretically be the episode? And before this week became the week of like billions of PlayStation headlines, mm-hmm. between a price increase, between DualSense, Edge, all the stuff happening, what I saw on the calendar was that, hey, it's the week before Last of Us Part 1. Why don't we talk about Last of Us? Why don't we just nerd out about Last of Us? And who better to nerd out about Last of Us with than Sancho West? Sancho West is my brother in arms when it comes to Last of Us factions. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to have a long, big conversation about that. We're probably going to talk about Last of Us Part 3, if that exists, what that is, what that could be. Highly recommend that episode. Tune in on Patreon if you're a live viewer. I think it's going to be a fantastic one. And then in case you missed it, a new Kinda Funny XCast is up right now, and the crew has gotten to check out Obsidian's upcoming game, Pentiment. That is up on youtube.com/kindafunnygames and on podcast services around the globe. And then, Tim, you got something to say.
I do. Like I was saying yesterday, Twitch has eased up a little bit on its exclusivity clauses when it comes to live streaming. So Kinda Funny's doing some fun experiments right now. We are currently simultaneously live on Twitch.
Whoa.
And on TikTok. Twitch? There you
What's
go.
What's up, TikTok kids?
Yeah, so if anyone cared, you can follow us at Kinda Funny Games on TikTok to watch this show live, maybe in addition to watching it live. If you want more of Tim and Bless, this is the best way to do that. But on top of that, next week, we're doing a different experiment that's a little bit bigger of an experiment. We're going to be doing Kinda Funny Games Daily live on youtube.com/kindafunnygames as opposed to Twitch. So 1 week, just an experiment to see what's up. We're trying to see what that could do, what type of audience is over there, different types of content. We're gameplay works a little better on Twitch. Maybe podcast stuff works better there. I don't know. We're just going to see what's up. But Monday through Friday next week, when Greg returns, Greg Miller will return next week after his 2 week vacation to Kinda Funny Games Daily. 5 episodes, youtube.com/kindafunnygames, 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Let me tell you, I'm really excited about this experiment, specifically to see chat. Because, like, I love Twitch chat. Twitch chat at this point, you know, me and y'all, we got a rapport. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love reading chat. I love having the back and forth. I even love when y'all hate on me because y'all hate on me sometimes. But I enjoy it. I feel like Twitch chat has a very specific energy, and I'm very curious about if YouTube chat is different or not. Mm-hmm. Like, is YouTube chat like, is it more pleasant? Is it filled with more haters? Is it like, you know, just a different dynamic? Like what is YouTube chat gonna be like? That's the thing I'm most curious about.
Whole new world.
I'm trying to start a YouTube chat versus Twitch chat war, and so Like, hold it down, right? Like, prove to us that you guys are the ones. Prove to us that you guys are, like, the homies. That way, like, when I go to YouTube, I'm like, man, I miss Twitch. And same for y'all, YouTube. When we come to YouTube, like, treat us like kings, you know what I mean? Except for Greg Miller.
Oh, God.
Thank you to our Patreon producers, Fargo Brady, Guy V, and The Saboteur. Today, we're brought to you by MeUndies, but we'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is, and forever will be, The Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have 6 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with our number one, the PS5 is about to get more expensive. This comes from Rebecca Valentine at IGN. The PlayStation 5 is about to get more expensive in most major markets, and Sony says you can blame continued inflation and other global economic troubles. Today, on the PlayStation blog, Sony announced that it'll be raising price of both editions of the PS5 in Europe, the UK, the Middle East, Africa, Asia, Latin America, and Canada. The United States seems to be the only major market not getting a price increase. Quote, "The global economic environment is a challenge that many of you around the world are no doubt experiencing," the blog post states. Quote, "We're seeing high global inflation rates as well as adverse currency trends impacting consumers and creating pressure on many industries," end quote. The price increases are as follows, and I've only boiled down to Europe, UK, and Japan. Of course, you can go over to the PlayStation blog to get the full scope of what all the different pricing increases look like. But right now in Europe, the PS5 with a disc drive is going up to €549.99. That is up from €499.99. And then the digital version is going up to €449.99, up from €399.99. Over in the UK, the disc drive is going up to £479.99, up from £449.99, and then the digital edition is going up to £389.99.
Say 99 one goddamn more time, Wes.
99. And then over in Japan, the disc drive is going up to... You want to know what, Tim? The reason why I'm saying it like that is because I'm trying to cover for the fact that, like, I don't know which one of these is pence. I don't know which one. I was trying to hide it. And mm-hmm. I thought I was doing a good job. Over in Japan, the disc drive is going up to 54,980 yen. That is up from 49,980 yen. And then, of course, the digital edition, that is going up to 44,980 yen, up from 39,980 yen. It is unfortunately not clear from the blog post whether or not this price increase will eventually be brought back down again, or if so, when. Sony concludes this blog post by stating that its top priority is to improve the PS5 supply situation, which has struggled since the console's launch due to ongoing chip shortages. Tim, this is wild news.
It is, man. It is. It is a very dark sign of the times that we're in, and the effects of the chip shortages still not being close to over, and in fact kind of becoming a reality now, where this was inevitable that it was going to cost them a lot more, so they weren't going to make as much money. I am honestly kind of surprised they're doing this move, and I think that the worst side of it is not doing it in the US but doing it everywhere else is not good. You know, I feel like it's like it would have been even better if it was here too, and that's a weird thing to say, but I think that that's the reality with this. I think that we're going to see this a lot more. I don't necessarily know that Xbox and Nintendo are going to react like this, but I think we're going to see things start to be newer tech coming out being like priced higher than you would traditionally expect. We have the Apple event coming up. They just announced on September 7th for the new iPhones. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they're more expensive than we've been used to the last couple of years, where we kind of hit a new level where, I mean, iPhones have in the last decade plus just gotten more and more and more expensive, to the point that like once we hit the iPhone 10 or whatever, it's like it crossed that $1,000 mark, and like now the top tier iPhones are kind of in around that $1,100. Like I wouldn't be surprised if this one starts pushing $1,300 or something like that when they announce it. Don't have any inside info, don't know that that's the case, but I would not be surprised. Like this is something that is affecting tech across the world in every single way, and it is unfortunate because of course we don't want to spend more. PlayStation doing this it's pretty wild, man. Like this is an era that I've never seen. I've never covered video games as a recession is at some point of happening, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's crazy to see. I think that not having the consistency across the entire world is a bad look.
Why do you think that they're not doing it in the United States? Do you think they just see this market as too vital to possibly fuck up in that way?
Yes, I think it's that. I mean, like the US is their biggest market, right? So I feel like they'd want to hold off on, you know, you don't want bad news, right? It's like you want to try to keep as many people as happy as possible. And I'm sure that they're doing the math on this and looking at it and just kind of offsets in one way or another. But you know, we're in the age of social media, and what PR means is different than what it meant before. So, you know, what this news story can do could damage them in different ways. But like they know that too. And I feel like at the end of the day, there's just a reality that the world is facing right now, that things are costing more, which means they're going to cost more to make, which means they're going to cost more to sell. And it's unfortunate and surprising to me that includes products that have already been out, especially products that are still not readily available, but those two statements kind of go hand in hand.
Tim, you mentioned you don't see Microsoft and Nintendo following suit necessarily. Grezik writes in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, hey guys, PS5 is getting a price increase outside of the US. Quest 2 also saw a price increase recently. Do Microsoft and Nintendo follow suit, or do they try to ride out the recent wave of inflation? Thanks for all you do. And I think this question is interesting, and the idea of like what Microsoft and Nintendo could do is interesting just for the there's so much to take away from what's going on right now, both in the world and with inflation and all that stuff, but then also PlayStation willing to raise their price like this, right? Them willing to go, all right, nah, fuck it. Like, this is something that we're going to do. I think that alone is wild, both in the sense of I would expect PlayStation just eat the price. In that case, I think passing on this price to consumers is like, it's a bummer, right? And looking on Twitter, looking on social media, the general tone from everybody is, man, this fucking sucks. And so to see them take this step, I think is pretty wild, because I'm sure that they foresaw the response. And for them, they're probably like, yeah, we're okay with it, right? We'll take the PR hit because, you know, things are getting wild out there in terms of where the economy is at. But also with that, right? In the same realm of PlayStation, before we even talk about Nintendo and Microsoft, I want to use this moment to give a personal "you're wrong" and "I'm wrong" moment of like, wow. a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago, I forget how long it was, on PS Love You, I remember having a conversation. It was, I think, me, Greg, Janet, and Barrett, and we're talking about PSVR2 and how like, is that going to be expensive? Like, you know, what is going to be the price of PSVR2? And we're going back and forth of like, okay, no, I think I can see it at 400. You know, Barrett brought up that like, nah, man, I can see at 500, given where everything's at in terms of how expensive things are getting to make. And I think me and Greg were both like, yo, that's crazy. At this point, man, though, I'm like, it's not. At this point, I'm like, no, man, I can see it. Like, plus, now that we're here, I'm like,
really bad.
Yeah, at this point, I you know, that's a large conversation in terms of what that does to PSVR 2 and like if it can be successful at 500 and all that. But now that we're here, I'm like, dude, yeah, dude, things are going to get more expensive as we go. And it might just be a hit that we got to take.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, the thing is, I think we're at this point where it is crazy if they release PSVR 2 at $500. Like, that is not okay. That is a bad, bad move. However, it's reality. Like, I do think that it could be up there. I still expect that PSVR being the more niche thing, they're going to try their best to get that even as low as possible and, like, maybe even take more of a loss on it despite the chip stuff, because they're putting so much into it otherwise, where it's not just the sale of the unit itself, but they are investing in a platform to then sell software on top of. But I don't know, man. Like, it's about to be very expensive.
At this point, I'm like, this goes back to the Greg Miller conversation of, oh man, I can see them canceling PSVR 2. At this point, I can't see them canceling it, but I'm sure deep down somebody wants to. I would imagine that right now they're like, fuck, man, right now is not the time to launch a PlayStation VR 2, where things are so expensive to make, where VR in general is so niche, right? You are going to lose money putting out a VR device, and maybe you make that up in software if the software hits and if the attachment rate is good enough to really justify that. But for VR, which I think is more of a, hey, this is for the passionate fan base, this is for the people that have that money to spend, right now people are having less and less of that money to spend, especially in a time where it is hard to get a PS5 in general, let alone a PS5 where the price is increasing in most markets. I wonder where their heads are at when it comes to PSVR 2, and if somebody's like, yo, can we pull the plug on this? Like, is it too late? Like, can we not do this? It's crazy out there.
Yeah, I mean, it is too late. Like, this thing's coming out for sure. There's just too much going into it. Again, it's like, it's the Batgirl situation, right? Where it's like, HBO and WB and all them, like, they're looking at the numbers and they're looking at the realities of the numbers and what it means for their business, and they had to make their decisions. PSVR 2 is not going to get Batgirled. Like, there's enough in it. There's like, they're not going to lose money putting this thing out compared to how much they would lose if they didn't. This point, so exactly. It's gonna happen, especially with them putting out the release window or whatever a couple days ago, and a story that I think we're gonna cover later.
Now, going back to Greg's question, right, of Microsoft and Nintendo, do you think there's no world in which we see a price increase in either the Switch or the Xbox, or even, I think, to put it in a more feasible slash realistic sense, right, a new model of a Switch which costs like a surprising amount compared to what we would expect for a Switch?
I don't think it'd be a surprise at all. I don't think it's like imminent. I don't think they're like, oh, this happened, so they're gonna do it right away. But like, y'all should expect it to happen. Like, this is the reality we're in. This is not just choices being made willy-nilly. There are choices being made because of situations these corporations are in. So there is the competition factor, but like I've said that 10,000 times since the last couple of years, Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft are playing different games this generation. They're all have different goals, and they're creating video games and hardware differently than each other. So I don't think that what one person, what one group does means the other are absolutely going to do it. But I do think Sony making this decision that clearly is the bad PR move, clearly is going to upset a lot of people. Like they're doing this because it makes the most financial sense for them. And if it makes the most financial sense for them, probably makes the most financial sense for Nintendo and Xbox as well. It just comes down to how are they going to take that? We'll see.
Do you think eventually we see the PS5 price increase in the US?
I don't know.
If things continue on the trajectory of like where the economy is going right now, very likely.
I'm shocked that they didn't just get it done in one fell swoop. I feel like that would have been the move to do. And that's bad news for consumers. It's bad news overall. But it's like, again, we're talking about realities here. We're not talking about like them making these decisions out of the kindness of their heart. Like these chips, there's less of them. They cost more money. They are necessary for the system to work and to be sold to play the games that they're also trying to sell you. So it's like, sucks, man.
Damn. Well, Tim, let's keep the PlayStation conversation going. Story number two, the Horizon TV show is being developed by the guy behind Umbrella Academy. This comes directly from at Netflix on Twitter, where they tweeted out this morning, the Umbrella Academy has been renewed for a fourth and final season. And then they follow that up by saying, the Umbrella Academy writer slash director slash executive producer, Steve Blackman, has extended his creative partnership with Netflix. Next, he will adapt the global interactive gaming phenomenon, Horizon Zero Dawn, as well as an original concept called Orbital. So there you go. I'm not somebody who's into Umbrella Academy. It saddens me because I know people love it, but
it's great.
I've tried twice now, gotten up to like episode 5 both times, and I'm like, why can't I connect with this?
Yeah, I tried as well. I tried and I didn't get into it. There's just a lot of reasons why, but I was shocked to see on TikTok recently like one of the scenes that involves like this crazy dance scene, and I was like, how is this the same show that I gave a shot a couple seasons ago? But you know what? Like, I thought it was like a parody. I thought that it was like an edit. And then as I watched more, I'm like, no, this is definitely the show. Like, there's way too much and production value.
But it's also, it's been like that since season one. Like, there's a dance sequence in season one as well. It's kind of always had that, like, kind of weird tone. I just like the worlds that Gerard Way has created.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, people like Umbrella Academy. Like, it's a good show. Maybe not for everybody, but, like, the quality's there, and I continue to like seeing video game properties be adapted into different mediums, and if they're going to be, I want to see it done by the right people. We keep talking about how Marvel Games made the decision to, instead of licensing its IP exclusively to this person, that person, whatever, they went to the right teams to make the right type of games that they are trying to make for their characters and worlds. And I think it needs to work the same way in terms of turning games into movies or TV shows, is go after the people doing dope things that have a proven track record to do those things well, in addition to finding some smaller indie people and like giving them their shot for fame that we see on a lot of streaming platforms nowadays. But this seems like a good matchup to me.
Tim, right now, right, I'm on a Benji Sales Twitter, right? We both know him well, right? He's out there talking about video game numbers all the time. He had a tweet a couple days ago after PlayStation announced some of the latest stuff that they're working on with the TV stuff, like Gravity Rush and Days Gone. And he has like a whole list of upcoming projects. And I want to know, Tim, what are the ones you're looking forward to the most? I'll say, what are the two you're looking forward to the most, the top two? And I'm going to remove Last of Us from the equation because I think that's the obvious right answer. All right.
Oh, so
if I go down the upcoming PlayStation Productions projects for movies, we got Ghost of Tsushima, we got Gravity Rush, Gran Turismo, Days Gone, and then apparently Jack and Daxter is rumored. I'm going to leave that off because it's not confirmed. And then as far as series, we got The Last of Us, God of War, Horizon, Twisted Metal. I want your top two in order.
I mean, real talk, Twisted Metal is number one for me.
Hell, I'm so interested. That's what I'm talking about, Tim. That's like, what I'm talking about.
Dude, I think that has the best chance to be a fun time to watch without us being like super having so much scrutiny about like, well, they fucked this up and they fucked this up. Like, if they just have some fucking fun with Anthony Mackie, like, hey, that has the chance to be, again, fun. I'm not saying like a 10 out of 10, but no Twisted Metal was ever a 10 out of 10.
Of course.
But I do think it could be cool. And then beyond that, it's like, you didn't say it, but it's like, I'm excited for Uncharted 2. The guy imagined that it's going to happen, and the first one was fun enough.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's going to happen.
And with the setup from the end of it, I'm like, yeah, hey, cool. I'm definitely in enough for whatever this is. But all the rest of the ones you named, like, I don't necessarily have faith that they're going to be as great, because I keep saying this, but Last of Us, I have totally nothing but hope for, because they've made all the right moves. Every single casting, every single the music choices, the Neil Druckmann involvement, all of that, I'm like, y'all know what you're doing, and HBO's pushing the hell out of it. It's like, this is set up as if they know how important this is to get right. The God of War stuff, the Horizon stuff, I'm like, I don't know enough to necessarily have that faith. So I do default a little bit more to, like, I don't know that they're going to nail it. So those are higher profile things, whereas Twisted Metal, who gives a shit?
I love that we're on the same wavelength with this, because Twisted Metal is probably the one that I'm also the most excited for. Not from a critical sense, because I think God of War critically is probably going to outshine Twisted Metal leaps and bounds. I imagine that they're going to put that in the right hands. They got to, you, because it's God of War. They're making the right decisions with Last of Us. Hopefully they see God of War as being of equal value, and they know to get the right people involved and put it on the right places, right? Horizon, from what we know about Horizon, I personally like a lot of the Netflix original stuff. I know some of them come out in their duds, but Steve Blackman has a good track record with Umbrella Academy, even though it wasn't for me. Horizon, I think, will be for me, because it's Horizon. It's more, that is an IP that I care more about than Umbrella Academy. Sorry, Umbrella Academy. So I do have faith in it. I imagine that these ones are going to be better than Twisted Metal. Twisted Metal, though, is the one that I'm most curious about, where I'm like, oh, y'all got Anthony Mackie? Y'all got this weird, goofy setup? Like, this sounds like a goofy Mad Max, and I'm all about a goofy Mad Max. For me, that sounds like a great time. And so,
Peacock budget, where could it go wrong?
Exactly. Where can you go wrong with a Peacock original? And so, yeah, I'm right there with you that I am excited for Twisted Metal. Days Gone, I'm not really excited about, if I'm being honest. Like, Last of Us exists, and I know Last of Us is going to be a banger. And Days Gone, I'm sure they're going to try their best to make it different. Right, they talk about it being more of an homage to, like, motorcycle like film or whatever the fuck. Right, like, all right, cool. Like, I guess that doesn't.
I think
do
that has potential, man. That motorcycle angle, man. I feel like leaning into that as opposed to the zombie stuff. Zombies just as a backdrop. I think it could be good. I think it could be better than the game.
Gravity Rush, I'm curious about, just from the sense of, is that going to be live action? Is it going to be animated? I think it'd be cool if it was an animated thing where, like, none of the other Sony or PlayStation production stuff seems like it's going in that realm. Maybe, I guess, if the Jack and Daxter thing ends up being true, that will be that too. But I think having that level of diversity in your catalog is important. So I think that could be really cool. And it'd be really different, right? And stylistically, Gravity Rush has so much going for it that, yeah, I could see that being really interesting to watch on the big screen. Gran Turismo had it had a write-up, right? It had a description to it, and I've already forgotten what the premise of it was.
Wasn't it a gamer who becomes a professional race car driver?
Yes, yes. Which it was based on a true story.
True story, yeah.
Yeah, of somebody who got into Gran Turismo, got into racing games, I guess, probably Gran Turismo, and then ended up becoming a real-life race car driver. That could be fire. That is, like, such an unknown to me of, like, what is the quality? Like, who are you attaching that to? What, like, who's going to star in it? But just from that premise, I could see that being a fire movie. And, like, you don't, it's an adaptation where you're not really limited by, like, story beats and, like, characters. There are expectations for The Last of Us. There's expectations for God of War. Nobody gives a fuck about a Gran Turismo story. And so they can do whatever they want with it. They have that freedom to make sure that they can make it good in any way they see.
Well, we already know the plot of it.
Yeah, but that plot is basic, right? Like, those are the main story beats. Whereas, like, anything else, like, God of War, Last of Us, so detailed.
Tim. It's about the emotional beats, Tim, not the plot beats, you know?
I mean, we got Blomkamp, baby. I trust the camp.
I forgot about that.
I forgot about that, too, honestly.
You know, I that's the thing is, I loved District 9, and I didn't really, what was the other one? Elysium was okay. It was fine. Like, I feel like it kind of didn't live up to the hype, but, like, it wasn't bad by any means. But him having some fun with Gran Turismo, oh, yeah, let's go.
It's, like, reading through the description, it sounds like it could be anywhere between, like, a great motivational, it sounds like it could be, like, Top Gun Maverick or a Disney Channel original movie. Like, anywhere between that. It can land and, you know.
Less.
Who knows?
Why not both? You know what I mean? Give me a Top Gun Maverick level Disney Channel original movie. from Neil Blomkamp of Gran Turismo.
You know why not, Tim? What kind of sense does that make?
Oh, so
a Top
much.
Gun like what? Mm-hmm. Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off is what you're describing. They mm-hmm. can only make one of those, Tim.
Yo, they're making an Under Wraps too. What the fuck?
Oh, just I don't know about
this month.
Which one Under is Under Wraps?
It was the first ever Disney Channel original movie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them. Yeah. Give me a High School Musical 4.
High School Musical, the musical, the series, season 3 is out right now, and you didn't even know because you're a fake ass fan.
No, wow. Tim, I watched the first episode. First of all, how fucking dare you, Tim?
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, you are.
And you know what? I got chills. I got chills during that yes, first episode because they're doing Camp Rock, they're doing High School Musical 2, and they're doing fucking Frozen, Tim.
Yeah, off dude. The chain. Oh, I love you so much. That was the best response possible.
And let me tell you, the thing that I guess light spoilers for High School Musical, the series that none of you guys care about. They reveal what's his name from the actual original movie? Why can't I think of his name? Black
Zac
dude.
Efron? Oh.
No, his best friend in the movie.
Corbin.
Corbin Bleu, yeah. Corbin Bleu is literally in it, right? Like, he's playing Corbin Bleu in the show. But also in the show, they have the brother from Hannah Montana in there. But he's playing the camp counselor. He's not playing himself.
Great.
And so it is him beside Corbin Bleu as Corbin Bleu. And then they're not acknowledging that they're both people from Disney Channel shit, right? One of them is a fictional character. The other one is a real person. Universe, it doesn't make
in
sense.
In this universe, the only franchise Disney has ever made is High School Musical.
That's facts. Yeah, no, that's exactly it. It's fucking crazy, and I fucking love it. It's meta. And they're also working on a what was it? Actually, I'm not gonna spoil the whole thing. Go watch High School Musical, this series. It's a masterpiece. For now, Tim, I want to let people know about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can go and get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, let us tell you about our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by MeUndies. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes. I love MeUndies. It is very rare, if ever, that you'll see me not wearing MeUndies head to toe. I'm wearing the MeUndies shirt. I'm wearing the MeUndies lounge shorts. I'm wearing the MeUndies socks. I'm wearing the MeUndies undies. Of course I am. Everyone knows MeUndies for their super soft undies and comfy bralettes. But did you know that they make other stuff too? They have daily tees, shorts, rompers that add a little silky softness to your everyday. They even make hoodies for your dog. You know that Toretto and Moose be rocking those as well. MeUndies is your destination for all things soft and sustainable. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. You're not going to regret it. You're going to love MeUndies just like I do. MeUndies.com/kindoffunny.
Story number 3, Bandai Namco is working to secure IP and partnerships amid all these acquisitions. This is from Tom Ivan at Video Games Chronicle. Elden Ring publisher Bandai Namco has discussed its efforts to secure IP and partnerships with developers amid the recent spate of merger and acquisitions in the games industry. In an interview with GamesIndustry.biz, Bandai Namco Europe COO Arnab Mueller said the company has been working hard behind the scenes to insulate itself from the impact of industry consolidation, but that smaller publishers are having a harder time doing so. Quote, "What I find is that we have to secure the IPs that we create with the studios we partner with," he said. Quote, "When we invest in IP creation, when we invest in marketing for these IPs, we also have to keep in mind that we have to get some sort of security towards the future of the studio that develops this IP, if the IP doesn't belong to us. So this is something that we work on. You know, the spread of acquisition that we're seeing is affecting some of the smaller publishers and their capacity to access the best studios in the world. But we at Bandai Namco have the financial means to secure these partnerships. We work on a number of measures to secure those partnerships. You're talking first option rights. You're talking IP ownership. You're talking minority stakes in those studios," Mueller said. Quote, "So there are ways to secure those relationships," end quote. Merger and acquisitions activity in the games industry hit a record $85 billion in 2021 and is expected to comfortably surpass that total this year. And this is one that it's not necessarily a new story, but it's one that I think is fascinating just from the idea of we talk about a lot when it comes to acquisitions, right? Xbox buying Activision, PlayStation getting Bungie, all this stuff. We don't really talk about it from the perspective of the other third-party publishers and how that affects them. Right, especially when you think of Bandai Namco, who published Elden Ring this year. Elden Ring being one of the fastest-selling games ever. Right, I'm sure Bandai Namco, right now in the space where everybody's getting acquired, they're like, oh, From Software is important. We can't let them get acquired. What can we do to make sure that we're able to keep Elden Ring going and we're able to milk that, or not milk, but, you know, like continue to profit off of that IP, because it's very important to us.
Yeah, man. It's interesting. This is the another side to it. And like, this is, again, we're going to keep seeing a lot more of this in the future, I think, especially in the coming years, as there are people scrambling to financially figure out their situations. But yeah, Bandai Namco has always been interesting in the way that they make video games, where specifically the Namco side, right? They've been there since essentially the beginning, right? With Pac-Man and all that stuff back in the arcades, and seeing them grow into what they are now with the Bandai Corporation, seeing the names kind of flip where it used to be Namco Bandai, now it's Bandai Namco, that really shows how much IP has always meant a lot to them, right? With the Bandai side, all of the anime crossovers they do, or not crossovers, but anime games and stuff that they publish. It's like they know that at some point the Bandai name was more important than the Namco name, right? And I think that kind of is really indicative of even this story as well, of how they view the games that they partner, the devs that they partner with, the games that they make, and where their value is in the games industry. So it's interesting, because remember, keep in mind, like, Bandai Namco helped make Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U. Like, what? That's such a weird thing. Like, Bandai Namco is unique as hell in the industry.
Yeah, 1,000%. Now, Tim, we got a story 3.5. And was it you that added this to the doc?
It is me that added this to the doc. Charles Jacobson in the chat said that there was a new Pokemon Masters trailer that is hype as hell that we need to watch. So I like skimmed through it for a second, and within 15 seconds, I was like, I need to show Bless this.
Okay,
so
let's Barrett, watch this.
If you could please bring up this Pokemon Masters trailer. The entire thing is a minute. I don't know that we'll even watch it all, but we need to at least watch the beginning. If you guys don't know, Pokemon Masters is a mobile game that essentially dumbs down the actual core Pokemon battle system into just you fighting against a bunch of like legends from the Pokemon universe. But here we go.
Now, is this just the longer version of what we saw? Okay.
So here's the end of Gold and Silver.
Yeah. It's your trainer running up to Red.
But it's the surprise reveal. It's not the trainer from Gold and Silver.
Red turns around. Oh, it's Pikachu. Oh, it's Red Pikachu. It's another Pikachu. Oh, it's my Red God. It's Ash. Oh, my God.
Let's go.
They did it.
The multiverse of Pokemon. That's kind of sick, right?
That's sick as hell. That's super hype. Ash is going to get his shit kicked in. But that's really cool. Ash has been at it for, what, like 24 years? And that dude still hasn't evolved as Pikachu. Like, come on, bro. Let's step up.
I mean, have you neither won, is Red,
have you
though.
Won a Pokemon
Red
League?
Still got that Pikachu, too.
You're yeah, right. But Red also has, like, every single legendary Pokemon that exists, all right? We don't talk shit about Red.
Remember I'll when he almost used the Thunderstone on Pikachu, and Pikachu was like, nah, bro, I don't want that. And Ash was like, but we need it to win. And then Pikachu was like, nah, motherfucker, I used Agility, and that's what won against Lieutenant Surge. God, that show was fucking awesome.
Remember when Ash went to Sabrina's gym, and Sabrina turned Brock and Misty into dolls, and it was really fucked up?
Oh, my God, dude, it was so fucked up. And the bending the spoons and shit, that shit was messed up,
it was dark.
Man.
It was real dark. Let's hop into story number 4. PSVR 2s are going to be at Gamescom. I am pulling from at Nibelian, aka Nibel on Twitter. Nibel quote tweeted the Resident Evil Japanese account. I'm pretty sure he just translated what was there, right? And he says, Resident Evil Village for PSVR 2 will be playable at hashtag TGS 2022, that is Tokyo Game Show, at the Capcom booth. Expect the first PSVR 2 player impressions around that time. It's pretty dope. It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear more from PSVR 2. I want to know how it feels to hold. I want to know how it feels if it's more comfortable than PSVR 1. I want to know how it is with that one wire that they got down now. Mm-hmm. Right? Down from like 2 or a million. I forget which, but
somewhere in between.
Somewhere between that.
No, real talk though. This news is important. This is the type of like fun news that's not necessarily like an official headline or stuff. It's just kind of putting some things together of this is going to be the first time we get hands-on impressions on PSVR 2, which to me means this is real. This is the device that exists. It's a device that is going to be sold soon. So I don't think they're going to backroll it. I think it's actually coming out. And we're going to hear about it very soon. TGS is just around the corner, right? Like within a couple weeks.
Yeah, it's usually September.
Yeah, so
I'm confused. So it's going to be, they're going to be at TGS, not Gamescom.
TGS, yes. Yeah.
Okay. Because the thing says Gamescom on there. So I'll just change that.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's my bad. That's my bad. Yeah, that was a typo.
I do think there was a tweet that said Gamescom as well that I think also came from Nibel. He might have taken it down, though, to retranslate.
That makes sense. But yeah, no, again, like this is cool. Shout out to Resident Evil for once again leading the VR charge. You
absolutely
know, like Resident Evil 7 was such a big game for VR in general, right? It was one that a lot of it's one that I think initiated a lot of people into that VR space, and one that convinced a lot of people that, oh snap, no, this works, and this is a really cool way to play the game. And so for Resident Evil Village to be another one in that camp, I think is really cool. And I wonder, have they announced, actually no, I was gonna say, have they announced Resident Evil 4 Remake VR, but I guess Resident Evil 4 VR already exists.
Yeah.
And so yeah, like Resident Evil really, yeah, goes hard for VR. Tim, are you excited for PSVR 2? I know you didn't really get to mess around with PSVR 1 a lot.
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, so without repeating myself too much, I'm excited for it mainly because of Astro Boy Rescue Mission.
Yeah.
Where I never got the chance to play it because I didn't have a not Astro Boy, Astrobot. PSVR 1, and I'm hoping that the PSVR 2 enhances the older games somehow. I expect that they will. At the very least, it'll be a higher quality screen and all that stuff. So I'm excited for that because I really, really loved Astro's Playroom, and you've recommended the Rescue Mission to me so many times, and you know, dude, you've invoked Mario 64.
You would love Rescue Mission so much. It would become your favorite VR game for sure, and probably one of your favorite platformers, I would bet.
I mean,
it is such a quality one.
That's interesting to me because, like, honestly, my favorite genres of video game are platformers and like rhythm music games, right? Mm-hmm. So right now I can't imagine a game beating Beat Saber. Like, that to me is just a perfect video game. Mm-hmm. But it's like, if there is a Mario 64 quality VR game, I'm like, VR game, hell yeah. Like, that sounds like an awesome, awesome time.
And I'm right there with you. Beat Saber, I don't know which one I love more between Beat Saber and Astro Bot.
Damn, okay.
They're very close in my eyes. And they obviously do very different things, but I think both of them hit that peak of what VR could do. I would say both of them are 10 out of 10 masterpiece VR games.
Cool.
And so, yeah, I can't wait for you to get your hands on that and play it. Like, it's you played Astro's Playroom, and you know how good that is. Mm-hmm. And so just translate that to VR, and boom, that's what you got. And into a full game. Like, you know, like, get on it. You're gonna love it. Story number five, we got some fun Gamescom analytics from Benji Sales on Twitter. Again, shout out to Benji Sales for doing that good work. This is another one of those that where it's like, it's not a big news story, but I think it's fun to talk about. Benji tweeted out, these are the most viewed Gamescom opening night live trailers on YouTube after 24 hours. And so he has like the top seven most viewed trailers. At number seven, we got Hogwarts Legacy with 700K plus views. At number six, DualSense Edge, that had 1 million plus views. At number five, The Lords of the Fallen had 1.1 million plus views. At number four, Dune Awakening with 1.2 million plus. At number three, Dead Island 2 game. Gameplay with 1.3 million plus. At number two, Sonic Frontiers with 1.4 million plus views. And then at number one, the Genshin Impact trailer had 1.9 million plus views. And Benji also gets into his methodology if you look at his Twitter account, right? Like, basically he aggregates anything with like 50,000 plus views, like any sort of video with 50,000 plus, and adds them, combines them all. And he doesn't count like live reactions, like what we would do for Kind of Funny. But I think this is fascinating, right? It gives us a good look at what people are interested in.
Yeah, definitely. I'd be interested in what the numbers would be for just like the official uploads of it, like the one that has the most that people are looking at. And I wonder if it would be different at all, or if this would be pretty reflective of those stats as well. But either way, I don't think there's too many like major surprises here, with the exception of possibly Dead Island 2 gameplay. Like, that's, there's a lot of people interested in that, and you know, we sat there for hours talking about like, okay, whatever, but a lot of people are interested in at least checking it out. Like, that says something, right? And like, again, the top of this, like Genshin Impact, like, we know that's huge. We know that there's a worldwide audience for that are going to be interested in any update that's coming out. But shout out to my boy. coming through at number two. You know what I mean?
Of course. Of course. Like, people want to deny the power of Sonic. And it's like, y'all, just wake up to it, all right?
Wake up.
My man has
sheeple.
God of War quaking in their boots, all right? Yep. Ragnarok doesn't have the stuff.
I will say I'm...
Corey Barlog, get out the way.
Good for Lords of the Fallen, because I don't feel like that's like a... You know, like a major IP, but that being in the top seven, because you know what? That trailer was hot.
It was hot, man.
Yeah, I think that's a combination of the trailer being hot, it being a sequel to a game from years and years ago, but then also it being, if I remember correctly, this is a kind of funny.com/you're wrong, Lords of the Fallen is a Souls-like action RPG kind of game, right? And so, like, when the first one came out, I imagine it came out around a time where you weren't getting a lot of those kind of, like, clones, right? And so it's easy for that to get lost in the shuffle when Dark Souls exists and the From Software is actually doing it. Now that you're getting more competent Souls-likes coming out, I could see the argument for people being like, okay, no, like, I want to watch Lies of P. I want to watch Lords of the Fallen. Oh, this is the second one. The trailer looks really dope. Like, let's look into that. And so, yeah, I can kind of see how that would rise. One that does surprise me, I'm surprised Hogwarts Legacy is so low. I would have assumed that would have been number one.
Yeah, I am too. And again, that seems very interesting. I mean, I guess it is after 24 hours, but I wonder if there's like some weird back end stuff that it's going to like catch up and jump higher. Cause that does seem suspiciously low.
Yeah, it's suspiciously low, I think is a good way to put it. And then, yeah, I'm like you, right? Dead Island 2 gameplay. It's interesting to see that one at 1.3 million plus. That's one that I think, one, it has that factor of, oh shit, it's back. Dead Island 2 after so long. Like, let's see what it looks like. It's probably that morbid curiosity. But also, I mentioned this yesterday on the show. I thought that trailer looked pretty good. I don't know. Like, I thought I could see that trailer. Like, if they put out more trailers of that same ilk, I could see them building up that anticipation to maybe get people hype at release. And, you know, I don't know if the game is going to be great or not, but if it lives up to what they're showing in that trailer and lives up to kind of what people got out of Dying Light 2, because I think Dying Light 2 was pretty good as well, then I think that'll be one that satisfies people, right? I think that could be one that gets people on its side. So yeah, like I really enjoy looking at these numbers to see like what are the things that are popping. And of course, DualSense Edge, finally. Give me the fucking Design Labs next, Sony. Mm-hmm. Since we're now comfortable with doing these Xbox things.
Nah, they're just gonna make you Edge for the time being.
Edge it up.
Right. You're right. Let's round out the Roper Report with story number six. Knockout City Season 7 stars the Ninja Turtles. This comes from D'Angelo Epps at Digital Trends. Season 7 of the free-to-play dodgeball game Knockout City is mutant-themed, and it'll cross over with some of the most famous mutants around, the X-Men, JK, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. In addition to the earnable in-game cosmetics, players can buy the TMNT bundle for $20 to get outfits and poses based on Leonardo, Raphael, Michelangelo, and Donatello. Season 7 of Knockout City introduces four new characters called the Mutant Crew, including the four mutants, Neon, Susan, Ratfink, and Goober. The one from Susan to Ratfink. Knockout City Season 7, Mutant Mutiny, begins on August 30th across PC, Switch, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Tim, which one of these in-game cosmetics are you going to get? Leonardo, Raphael, Michelangelo, or Donatello?
Don't ask stupid-ass questions, Bless. Who the fuck you think I want?
Leonardo?
Yes, of course, okay. Leonardo.
You seem like
course.
A Leonardo guy.
Thank
I
you.
Guess the blue.
Thank you.
That makes
exactly,
sense.
Exactly. Look at this room right now. It's Leonardo colored. I love this, man. I love that the Ninja Turtles are just down to clown, man. They're showing up in every video game. They're like, fuck it. Injustice? Yeah, I guess we'll be there. Does that make sense?
God, they were so cool in Injustice 2.
So sick, man. I love it. I love these video game crossovers. I love that there's more and more franchises doing them. And, you know, that Fortnite kind of is setting the biggest standard in the world. We're starting to see it with Fall Guys as well on the Epic side of things. But here we got Knockout City, you know, a smaller title, but still having fun. And I just think it's really cool that they can do cool things like this, because like they'll look at these turtles. They look awesome.
They look great.
I love it. Yo, these are the 80s turtles. Let's do it.
Yeah, I fucking love this. You know, me and Barrett, of course, are big lovers of Knockout City. This is one of those games where I think it'll forever be installed into my PS5. I don't think I'll ever uninstall this game, because every now and then I just get that itch to go back. And when I do go back, it is so easy to get back into the flow of this game. It is so fun. And I'm happy that they're able to make the moves to get the license stuff, because you don't see that as often in Knockout City. In fact, Barrett, do you know, is this the first time they've had a crossover like this? I don't remember them ever having.
Yeah, big... I think this might be their first, like, IP thing that they're bringing in. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. But, like, it also made me question, like, even just, like, the new mutant characters that they're getting. I'm glad that they're finally doing this and getting weird with, like, the people that you can play as, right? Like, you're literally a pile of, like, goop with one. Susan's
goober.
Goober. And then there's, like, a rat and then a lizard. And I feel like, is this, like, a little too late? You know, bless. Like, mm-hmm. It's one of those things, like, I would have loved to see this stuff earlier, even when we got back into Knockout City, I want to say, like, a few months ago for, like, a week or two, yeah. Right? We came back.
I think when it went free-to-play.
Yeah, and it was, like, one of those things of, like, oh, yeah, all the cosmetics are just as I remember as it was, like, a year ago, right? So I think it might have been a little too late to get on that train, but I'm glad that, you know, they're finally doing something fun, so it's not everybody just kind of looking like the same 4 to 5 characters, you know?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I really like the aesthetic of Knockout City. And I think for what they've done, the cosmetics have been cool, but it's not been, you know, you look at Rocket League, you look at Fortnite, you look at a lot of the Epic games right now, and it is crossover city, right? We're in the multiverse saga. And yeah, I think if they had the stuff like this when they launched the free-to-play version, I think that would have helped them launch with a bigger punch, right? I think more people would have been like, oh, shit, you see this? Oh, and it's free. Let's get into this. It is a little late, but I don't think it's too late, right? I think if they continue this momentum, and if every season you're able to get some kind of really cool crossover thing that fits within the aesthetic of Knockout City, I think that you're able to get more people in, right? You're free to play, right? Like, if kids see the stuff on, I was gonna say Twitter, kids don't use Twitter. If they see it on TikTok, you know, and they're like, oh shit, you know, kids, I guess, aren't saying the S word. If they're like, oh, golly, my favorite skins from, you know, Mickey Mouse are in here, then yeah. I think that becomes, you know, more of a viable thing for people to come in and experience those skins. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, good on them. And also, good on TMNT for having just a video game renaissance in 2022 between the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game
Shredder's
that came
Revenge,
out. Cowabunga
Shredder's Revenge, Cowabunga Collection. Yeah. We got Knockout City. Let's go, dude. Yeah. I love it, man. I still haven't been able to get into Cowabunga Collection, but I'm really excited to play through the first two levels of the NES game before I, you know, just throw my Switch at a wall.
Is TMNT is WB, right? Does WB own them?
No.
No.
Nickelodeon.
Is Nickelodeon's under... Maybe I got that wrong. I might got that wrong. Hold on. Yeah, I got that wrong. Sorry.
No. Yeah, Nickelodeon goes up to...
Is that Paramount?
Because I was going to ask if we could see them in multiverses.
It is Paramount. Yes.
Paramount? Okay, then never mind then.
Yeah, yeah. Viacom.
For a while, it was Mirage Studios. And then, Nickelodeon. And,
that was the beginning, yeah.
Yeah, Nickelodeon and Paramount in 2009 acquired them.
Mm. Who has Power Rangers?
Also Nickelodeon.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I remember watching Power Rangers on Nickelodeon.
Power Rangers was Fox, then they sold to Disney, and then Disney sold to Nickelodeon. I'm pretty sure.
Why did Disney sell?
It's Hasbro.
Really?
Yeah. It went from Toei Company to Saban Entertainment to Walt Disney Company to Saban Brands to Hasbro in 2018.
That's right. That's right. Okay.
Oh.
Interesting, man. So, wow. G.I. Joe, Power Rangers, and Transformers are all owned by the same group, Hasbro. Yo,
that sounds like another Smash clone right there.
Let's go.
Yeah, Hasbro, get on it. Tim, I can't wait for Hasbro Smash Brawl Royale, but that game is just so far away. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Out today, we got F1 Manager 2022 for PS5, Xbox Series X and S, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. SD Gundam Battle Alliance is out today for PS5, Xbox Series X, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. I Was a Teenage Exocolonist is out today for PC. Monster Outbreak for PC and Switch. Shin Chan, Me and the Professor on the Summer Vacation, The Endless 7-Day Journey is out again somehow for PS4.
That's not an entire name of a game. Fuck you.
Oh, yeah, it is. No, man, we've been through this. It's a Shin Chan game.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, it looks kind of cool. It does. Idle Manager is out for Switch. Hack is out today for PC. Train Life, a railway simulator, is out for everything. Prime of Flames is in early access for PC. And then Kill Run is out today for PC. New dates for you. Dark Pictures Anthology, The Devil in Me, launches on November 18th. Get hyped for that. I know I am. We got one new deal of the day for you. This comes from Wario64. Monkey Island Collection is $5.06 on Steam.
Ooh.
Tim, you know what that means. We got to get on it. Mm-hmm. Get on Monkey Island.
Let's monkey around.
Especially with the new one coming so soon, just like a few
Hell
weeks.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you were wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong, as we got it wrong, so we can correct it for those watching later on YouTube and listening later on podcast services around the globe. Just Tom writes in and says, pounds have pence, euros have cents. Wow. Who would have thought? Wow. These Europeans out here just doing all the things we do.
Sixpence, right? None the richer.
They hate us because they ain't us.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Mud Dog says Under Wraps was not the first DCOM. The first was Tiger Town in 1983. Under Wraps debuted in 1997.
It was different. That was different. That wasn't a DCOM.
Yeah, I was going to say, was Digi-Channel even around in 83? I'm just asking questions that we probably don't even have the answer to. Let's see. Bander SN says, Blessing said Ash never won a Pokemon League, but Ash is the official champion of the Alolan Leagues. He's currently fighting in a tournament of champions in the anime. It's hella hype. That sounds really hype, actually.
I hope he wins.
Yeah, thank you, Bander. He's not. Come on, let's be real.
He won one, man.
But how long did that take him? That took him half his.
I know, but like they're building this up to be like the end of it all. But like, well,
really?
Yeah. Like this is like the tournament of champions. Like it's all the champions fighting together. Wow. It's pretty damn cool. Wow. Yeah. Every couple of weeks, I'll check in on YouTube and see what people are saying about it. But I'm pretty sure like we're getting close to the actual like. The final match, which I imagine is going to be Ash versus, I forget his name, but the dude with the Charizard from Sword and Shield with a dope cape.
Oh, really? Oh, that's cool. And then let's see. Nano says Leon. Lords of the Fallen. Oh, Leon. Yeah. Lords of the Fallen. Wait, what's the name of the dragon gym leader in blue? Not gym leader, in the Elite Four.
Lance.
Like the Lance.
My fucking man. God, I love that guy.
Him and his fucking Dragonite. Nanobiologist just says Lords of the Fallen is a Souls-like. Thank you for that. Borzen says Netflix has Power Rangers show rights now, which that's good added context. I was more so asking for, who can I get in multiverses, because I would love to get the Power Rangers in multiverses or the Ninja Turtles, but I guess Hasbro or Netflix can do their own thing. Put the Stranger Things kids in there, too. Kebab says Ash also won the Orange Island League. We don't count the Orange Island League.
Fucking Orange Island.
Remember Orange Island? Who was kid that I just call not Brock? He had like the green shirt.
Tracy.
He took pictures. And fucking Tracy. Get Tracy the fuck out of here. Nobody gives a fuck
Tracy
about
was
Tracy.
Such a dork.
Fucking
dude,
dork.
I will say though that, you know, Pokemon Season 1 of the Indigo League, that had the most banger theme song of all time, period. We all understand that. Yeah. And I was like, there's no way that they can come out with another banger. And then the Orange Islands thing came out. And it was like, so you want to be a master of Pokemon? Do you have the skills to be number one?
Dude, oh, that shit was fire. Hype.
And then for Johto, they came back with another banger that did it. I'm like, let's go, dude.
That's probably the reason why I didn't get that. I dropped off. At season 3, technically? It was Gen 3 of the anime.
I think that would have been, the seasons get complicated at some point because they, like, lasted long.
Yeah.
Because season 2 was Orange Islands, which wasn't from the games. So the seasons and gens got off base. But anyway, Johto was hype.
Gen 3 is where I dropped off, and I'm convinced that's because the theme song wasn't as hype as the previous three. Because goddamn. Yeah.
I think they just went back to a shitty version of the original theme for that, but I could be wrong. But I'm right there with you. Another reason is, Bless, we did grow up a little bit.
Yeah, we did grow up. And no, that is fair. I was like, at that point, I was like, oh, well, you guys are chopping off characters. Misty's gone. Like, I can't do it anymore. Man, I was here for Misty. Tomorrow's host for Kind of Funny Games Daily are me and Gary, is what it says on the doc, Tim. Do we have confirmation on what's going on?
Yeah,
is it going to be me and you?
It is you and Gary because of a plethora of reasons. But the biggest one being tomorrow's also our subathon. We're going to be hanging out for a whole long ass time tomorrow after Kind of Funny Games Daily, streaming a bunch of games, whole bunch of your favorite Kind of Funny members playing stuff together
in
different combinations. It's going to be great.
I love playing stuff together. Are we going to be playing Mario Party with possibly Joey Noel?
You'll have to see.
Yeah.
If you're watching this live on Twitch right now, after this, is some Apex and Valorant with Nick and Andy. If you want to catch that stream later, you can subscribe to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays. Remember, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday live right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. And Tim, let me tell you, the shit list returns. And we're going to be talking about the top 10 best Nintendo soundtracks.
So strap in for that, Tim.
Yeah, if you're listening, stick around for that. Again, if you're on the silver level of patreon.com/kindafunnygames. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.